This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We're so glad that you're here to worship with us and to lift up Jesus together. And it's amazing that we can be connected, not physically. We don't get to gather together, but we can be connected spiritually. And we're thankful to God for that technology to be able to do that. So today, just to start off, we want to go through just two announcements, but they're crucial and pretty big. So if you haven't downloaded our church app yet, it is an amazing resource that can help you not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. So if you want to just follow the directions on the screen, you can go to whatever app store that you have, either Apple or the Google Play, and search for the church app and then find Bridges Church on there. And there's we put our weekly set list on there so you can prepare to sing and to worship throughout the week. We put our sermon podcasts on there and sermon notes, so we'll have the outline on there for you if you want to download that. Again, it's an amazing resource, so we encourage you to do that. And then second, for Patrick's doctorate in ministry degree, we've been doing this thing called Reveal Study. So we did it a while back, and some of you may remember that. It's kind of a diagnosis, if you will, of the church and where the members are at. So it's anonymous. It won't tell who you are, but there's just questions about theology, like what you believe about God and how you are growing spiritually. So we are doing it until May 10th, and our goal is for 75 people to do it just so we can get a good gauge of the church and where we're at. And it helps us out as leaders to realize, how do we lead you spiritually? You know, if there's many people in the church who are kind of stalled, who are not really growing in God, that gives us leaders a sense of how to lead you and to what to teach on and what to preach and how do we sing and gather in our small groups. So be sure and do that. You should have received an email about that through the church. So we would like you to do that. So today, as you know, we've been in this series called More Than Conquerors, and it's been looking at Romans chapter 8, and we've been kind of diagnosing that, and Patrick has been leading us through that. So it's no doubt to a lot of you that we are in unprecedented times. We're in times that this world has not seen before. Things are uncertain and things are hard. So today I wanted to look at a passage outside of Romans to kind of help us to navigate this troubling time, a passage that I think will help us as we seek guidance through this, something that we've never experienced before. So today, I wanted to read that little passage in Romans chapter 8 that we've been looking at and where we get this series idea from. So it's going to be Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can face these things because God has shown his love for us. So if you have your Bibles today, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 42. So Psalm chapter 42. And if you want to keep Romans 8 marked in your Bible too, we're going to be kind of flipping back and forth between those two, taking a look at what God would have us to see in there. So in Psalm chapter 42, if you read through this psalm, you'll see that the writer he's in deep distress. He is in a troubling time. He is depressed. He is anxious, he is stressed, and he is overwhelmed. His soul is in distress, and you may be relating to that right now. You may be saying, God, my soul is in distress, I am depressed, I am anxious, I am stressed, and I am overwhelmed. But I hope that you would find hope and you would find encouragement through what we're going to read today. So we're going to read the whole chapter of Psalm, well, the whole book of Psalm 42. It's only 11 verses, so let's go ahead and read that together. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng, and throng right there means just a group of people going to worship. You can say a congregation even. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mazar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, and we know that the words that we have read and that we are going to look at are straight from you. They are inspired, they are true. So we pray today that you would open our hearts and you would open our eyes to see the truth of Scripture. I pray that you would keep my mouth from error. I pray that the truth would be proclaimed and that people would see Jesus and their need for him. It's all in Jesus that we pray. Amen. So as we look at this psalm, as we go through this, I wanted to just point out four things that I think will help us through this. Four examples for us on how to conquer troubling times, and that's what I've titled the sermon, Conquering Troubling Times. The writer shows us how to go through a trial, how to conquer troubling times. So number one is be honest with God. To be open and honest in God in your prayers. Let's read verses 1 through 3 again. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Why they say to me all the day long, where is your God? See, we see here and again in verses 9 and 10. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? So we can see here that the writer, he's not trying to sugarcoat anything. He's not trying to come before God with just things that he should be feeling. He's come with God what he is actually feeling, the emotions that are within him. He's saying that his tears have been his food. He is constantly crying. He is asking, people are asking him, where is your God? And he's questioning that. He's questioning God and saying, why have you forgotten me? See, I think it's easy for us sometimes as Christians to just go through a routine of prayer that says, you know, God, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Bless me. And those prayers are good. Don't get me wrong. But when we are in troubling times, God delights in us coming before him with what we are actually feeling. With saying, God, I'm anxious. God, I am depressed. God, I don't know what's going on around me. I feel like my world is falling apart. Those prayers are good. C.S. Lewis says, we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. See, it's easy to be praying what ought to be in us, to be praying these spiritual prayers that we may not actually be feeling. But C.S. Lewis says, we must lay before him what is in us. We must follow the example of this writer of Psalm 42 and bring to God what we are actually feeling, not what we ought to be feeling. Let that be an example for us. The second thing that I want us to see from this passage is to remember what God has done in the past. So we started out singing something that I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe that you'll do it again. So we remember what God has done in the past. It gives us hope for the here and the now. Psalm 9:1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. And we see that this is exactly what the writer of Psalm 42 does in verses 4 and 5. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go to the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. See, here he is remembering what God has done in the past. He is remembering the amazing times of worship he had, how he would go with the congregation, with the group of people, and they would go to the house of God, and they would come with glad shouts and with songs of praise and keep festival. And see, I can really relate to this, to these two verses right now, because as many of you probably feel too, I miss being gathered together. I miss being in this room together, singing with glad shouts and singing songs of praise together. And I know that most of you are probably feeling that too. But I think that this time that we're in, as we're separated physically, as we can't meet, I really hope and I pray that it gives all of us a hunger to gather. It gives us a hunger to come and worship God together. It gives us a greater appreciation for what we get to do here. We get to come, like Psalm 42 says, with glad shouts and with songs of praise. I hope that this time will make us realize how much we need the local church. So with that in mind, I wanted to look at Romans chapter 8 again. So if you have that handy, let's turn there again. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. This amazing truth. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So we see Paul starts out in verse 28 with giving this amazing truth that for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. We can trust that. We can believe that. And then he goes on in the following verses to encourage them with how can we know that God is working all things for good. He shows them that salvation from start to finish is the work of God. Paul gives them, after this truth, this God-centered narrative of the salvation story to demonstrate that God is working all things for good. He says, if you wanted to paraphrase that, he can say, God is working all things for good. If you love him and you are called according to his purpose. And how do we know that? Because your salvation is of God. From start to finish, it is from God. He recalls the truth of who God is and how he has worked and how he is working to show the church in Rome that he is indeed working all things for good. He is working all things for good. And I think that we can have this same mindset when we go through troubling times. When we go through times where we are stressed out and anxious and depressed, as Psalm 42 is, we can remember what God has done in the past. We can remember how he's been faithful, how he has been good to us, how he has come through in our lives, how he has worked to save us. We can remember those times of encouragement when we've been gathered with the church, when we've been gathered together to sing praises and sing glad shouts and songs to God. We can remember what God has done in the past to give us hope in the here and now. We can remember what God has done in the past to give us hope. So number three that I wanted to see from Psalm 42 is we can look ahead to what God will do in the future. We can look ahead to what God will do in the future. He says in verse 5 in Psalm 42, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again." And he says almost the same thing in verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." See, again, you might be experiencing what this writer is expressing. Your soul may be in turmoil. You may be in a dark time. But as the psalmist does, we need to find hope in God. In the midst of our situation, we need to express hope in God and express that we believe that he will bring us out. The writer is clearly expressing hope in God. He is showing that he believes that he's going to be brought out of his time of despair. He's saying, "I shall again praise him." So he's looking forward. He's looking forward to what God will do in the future. And that's something that we can do as well. We can recognize where we are at. We can be honest about the situation that we're in. But we can look forward to the future and what God will do for us. And I love that in these verses, in this time of him expressing his sorrow, he does not forget who God is to him. He still calls him my salvation and my God. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." His trials, his circumstances have not negated, have not crossed out what God is to him. No matter what the circumstance he is in, he is going to remember that his salvation and his God are found in his God. The writer has confidence in the Lord, confidence that he will be praising the Lord on the other side of this trial. Again, let's look back to Romans 8:28. This amazing truth. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." There's this illustration that has been going on for years, and if you know anything about maybe quilting or tapestry, imagine this huge tapestry that's hanging up on the wall. And if you have ever seen one, they look beautiful from the front. There's this amazing picture that you can see. But if you look from the back, there's a bunch of interconnectedness and things hanging down that don't look too beautiful. So imagine we as humans are looking at this tapestry that is God's plan, that is God's working out. And then our life, our square, is only about a 3-inch square on this huge, beautiful illustration. We can only see 3-inch view of what's going on. If we look at what we are seeing, we don't see something too beautiful. We don't maybe see how this is all fitting in. We, as we sang earlier, we may not see God working. We may not feel God working. But just because we have a small view of what's going on, just because we don't see the whole picture of what is going on, when we step back and we look from God's view, from God's viewpoint, we can see something beautiful. We can see a picture, we can see an image that God is working out for good, that he alone is orchestrating, that he is weaving together. And again, maybe our circumstances don't show that. Maybe you're saying, "I don't see how my life, my situation is fitting in to God's plan." Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're wondering, well, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to get money? How am I going to pay these bills? But I call you to just step back and trust in the truth that God is working all things for good. He is weaving something far greater than we could ever imagine, far greater than we could ever think of or come up with ourselves. So though we may not see how our situation is working for good, we can trust that God is working all things for good. Paul gives that to the Romans, and he is giving that to us today and every day. We can trust that God is working all things for good. No matter what trial we're in, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what is going on in the world, God is working for good. You can put your hope in that. You can trust in that. So the fourth and final thing I want us to see from this passage for us to do in a trial is to praise God in the midst of our trial. Praise God in the midst of your trial. We see in verse 8 of Psalm 42, he says, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." See, we see that he is still choosing to sing to God in the midst of what he's going through. He is still praying to God. And this makes me think of Acts chapter 16. And if you maybe know the story of Acts, or Acts chapter 16, you know that Paul and Silas, they're walking through the streets. The same author of Romans is walking through the streets. And they're walking, and they're approached by this slave girl who is possessed by a demon. And this demon gives her the power to tell people's fortunes, to tell people's future. And so her owners are making a lot of money off of her, off of sending her out to make money off of telling people's fortunes. So Paul and Silas are walking along, and this woman, this lady comes up to them. And Paul delivers her from this demon. He casts this demon out. But this makes the slave girl's owners very angry, because they've lost this source of income. They've lost this revenue because of Paul. So we see in verse 22 of Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn there, it's going to be on the screen. So verse 22 says of Acts chapter 16, "The crowd joined in attacking them," Paul and Silas, "and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." And I think that we can all agree that this is a troubling time, that this is a trial for Paul and Silas. They're walking along, they're doing the work of the Lord, and somehow they end up in prison. They've been beaten, they've been shackled, and they're in this prison, all because they're doing the Lord's work. So a lot of us, maybe if we were in that situation, we may be questioning, saying, "God, why? I'm out here doing your work, I'm out here following you, doing what you have told me to do, and now I'm in this circumstance, I'm in this situation that doesn't look good, that doesn't look like you're working for good." But even in the midst of that, even in being in prison and beaten and shackled, we see Paul and Silas doing something that a lot of us probably wouldn't be doing. Verse 25 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." They were praying and singing hymns to God. How amazing is that? That while most of us would be sulking in the corner, we'd be over there crying in a fetal position, Paul and Silas, they're worshiping. They're singing hymns to God. They're praying in the midst of this trial. And then we see after this that God does a miraculous thing through that. The prison walls start to shake. Their chains and their shackles fall off. The doors open. And they are able to proclaim the gospel through that situation. See, that situation probably looked pretty terrible for them. But as the writer of Psalm 42 does, they chose to sing and they chose to praise and worship God in the midst of their struggle. So we see again in verse 8 of Psalm 42, we turn back there. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And that's what I love about worship and singing. We can do it in any situation. When we are in good times, we can praise God for that. We can praise God for the spiritual mountaintops, and when times are going good, and we can sing in the bad times. We can sing about what God has done in the past. We can sing about what he will do in the future. In depressing times, we can still choose to praise God. In times where we're stressed and overwhelmed, we can still choose to praise God. In times that we don't understand what's going on, we can sing to God. We can follow the writer of Psalm 42 and Paul and Silas, and we can sing and we can praise in the midst of our struggles. God is worthy of our praise no matter what our circumstance is. God is worthy of our praise no matter what our circumstance is. So as we come to the end of this, I want to recap kind of what we've looked at, what we've learned from Psalm chapter 42. And we'll go through all 4 points. Number one, be honest with God. Be true. Bring to him what you are actually feeling, what's actually going on in your life. Even though he knows where you're at, he knows what you're feeling. We need to pray that. We need to bring that to him. Number two, remember what God has done in the past. Recall all of his wonderful deeds that he has done. Look back to how he's been faithful, how he's been good, how he has brought us out of bad times. And we look ahead to what God will do in the future. Look ahead to when he will bring us out. Look ahead to how he will work, how we will praise him again. And then finally, we can praise God in the midst of what we are going through. We can join with those who we read about in Scripture, and we can choose to praise God, choose to sing to him when we are going through tough times, when we are going through struggles and troubling times. So we may be asking that, how does this relate to this more than conquerors idea? How does this relate back? So we're going to turn back to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, when we face tribulation, we can pray to God about that. We can remember how he has worked in the past. We can look forward to what he will do in the future, and we can praise him in the midst of it. When we face persecution, when people are asking us, where is your God in the midst of this? We can do the things that we've learned and pray, remember and look forward and praise. When we face famine and nakedness and danger and sword, we can do the things that Psalm 42 gives us. We can follow that example. We can overcome. We can praise God regardless of our circumstances in these things. We can pray, remember, look forward, and praise. Again, let's read. We're going to read that little passage again to 35 through 37 one final time and focus on one more key thing as we close. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So he tells us how we are more than conquerors. He doesn't say you're more than conquerors through your good works. He doesn't say you're more than conquerors because of your self-righteousness, because of how you handle things. He says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we read again earlier in Romans chapter 5. He says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And how do we know that he loves us? How do we know that God loves us? He tells us right here, because Christ has died for us. While we were still sinners, while we had turned our backs on God, Christ died for us. And because Christ has died for us, we are more than conquerors. Because he has paid the price for our sin, because he has paid the price for our redemption and our salvation, we can face tribulation and persecution. We can face danger and sword because Christ has died for us. God has shown his love for us in that way. So today, if you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know the one who has died for sinners, I would pray for you. I would plead with you to believe in this Jesus. He is calling you. He loves you. And we can see that when we look at his death for us. And as we celebrated a couple weeks ago, he is alive. He did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose in victory and in glory. And now he is ruling and reigning forevermore. And if you know this Jesus, I pray that you would trust that you are not more than a conqueror because of your own good works, because of your own handling of situations, of hard times, but you are more than a conqueror because God loves you. And we can know that God loves us because Christ has died for us. Because Christ has died for us. He has paid for our sins. So now we can face troubling times. Now we can conquer troubling times and trials that we face because Christ has died for us. He has made a way for us. So as we close, let's pray to him. Father God, we come to you today and we are thankful for this passage of scripture that gives us an example and shows us how we can face troubling times. I pray that when we are in the midst of tribulations and trials, I pray that we would be honest with you, that we would be vulnerable with you and bringing to you what we are actually feeling. I pray that we would remember how you have worked in the past. I pray that we would look forward in faith and in hope to what you will do in the future. And I pray that we would choose to praise and to worship and glorify you in the midst of what we are going through. And today, again, I pray that we would realize that we are more than conquerors because of Jesus. Because Jesus has died for us. Because Jesus has paid the ultimate price, a price that we could not pay. We could never pay back the debt that we owed on our own. But it took the spotless Lamb of God dying for us in our place and rising again in victory. So we trust in him. We put our faith in him. And God, I pray that if there's anybody that doesn't know you right now on this live stream, I pray that even now they would turn in faith to Jesus. They would realize that they are sinners, that they need a Savior. They need someone who can save them from their sin because they cannot do it themselves. I pray that they would turn away from their sin. They would repent of their sins and they would believe in Jesus. Believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for sinners, and that he is alive and he is ruling and reigning right at this very moment. Again, we pray for the situation that we are in as a world, as a church, as families, as communities. We pray that you would bring hope and healing to those who need it. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.